Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
So, a few years ago, I started doing something that I swore I would never do. That I had actually judged other people for doing. I became a youth sports coach. Yeah, started coaching my kids in specifically baseball and basketball. Now, I'm using the term a little loosely there. I'm more like, managing the kids don't beat each other up while they're in the dugout is really what I do for baseball. But now basketball, I play basketball, no basketball. And so for the last couple of years, me and a buddy of mine, we have coached a basketball team. And it's really fun. I love it. I love teaching the kids. I love the strategy. I love, trying to help them figure out how to play the game, how to play the game the right way, how to play the game well, how to learn, the fundamentals of the game. But here's what I've learned over the last couple of years of coaching kids. You can teach all the strategy you want. You can teach fundamentals. But especially for my team, my number one job as a coach is to be the encourager in chief. Here's why. My kids in particular, the other coaches' kids, the kids on our team are super ultra on the verge of too competitive. I don't know where they get it from. I have no idea. But they are super competitive. I think they hate losing more than they like winning. And the only thing they hate more than losing is the idea that they might lose. And so what I've noticed, specifically in basketball, is that the second one thing goes wrong, the second they don't make a shot, which happens all the time in basketball, the second they get called for a foul, which happens all the time in basketball, the second they don't get a call, which happens all the time in basketball, they look over to the sidelines. Tell me if you've ever seen this. And they do this. What? What? This is so unfair. What? And what they don't realize is happening is that they completely take themselves out of the game. Every time one thing goes wrong, their little brains just like go into a tailspin about, well, nothing's ever going to go right again, and I'm never going to make another shot, and we're going to lose all our games, and I'm going to have to sleep outside. I don't know what's going to happen. And they start to, we can see it on the sidelines. They start to panic, and they get all tense. And they start freaking out, and then eventually that little lip starts poking out, and little tears start rolling down their cheek. Yeah, I'm making fun of them. You better laugh. It's ridiculous. Little tears start rolling down, and next thing I know, and it's the first quarter. We were leading yesterday, and half my team. It's not fair. They're not calling any calls on us. It's not fair. They're so mean. They're talking junk. Blah, 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 blah. And so my number one job on the sidelines is to constantly be saying, hey guys, keep your heads up. You gotta shake it off. You'll make the next shot. Hey, come on. Keep your head up. Come on, keep your head up. No. I saw that. It's okay. Yeah. Yes, you walked. Yes, that was a walk. You traveled. You took four steps. Yes, you took four steps. It was a walk. Smile. It's okay. Keep your head up. Here's why I do this, right? Because I'm a grown adult male who has watched sports my entire life. Here's what I know. You don't lose a basketball game because you didn't get a foul called in the first quarter. You don't lose a basketball game because you got travel called on you in the first quarter when you traveled. You don't. There is a lot of game left to play. And so one of my chief jobs is to try as hard as I can to keep them to keep their heads up, kind of let that go, kind of keep going, because I don't want them to forfeit and lose the rest of the game because they took themselves out of it in the first quarter because they decided to live life defeated. And yesterday, they were defeated. They lost. For this very, this isn't a preacher story, this actually happened. And I told my coaches after the game, I'm going to use this tomorrow. But they did. They completely just letting things get out of control. They lost all perspective. They lived defeated. And then they lost and they cried and they were really sad about it. Now, I tell you that story, one, because it's funny. It is. But I tell you that story because I am convinced that there are people in this room today. And I am convinced of that because I know there have been times in my life where I have let situations, I have let setbacks, I have let failures, I have let things that didn't work out, I have let what other people said, I have let slights, I have let injustices completely derail me and take me out of the game. Because in that moment, I dropped my head and I began to live defeated. And if you are here today and you know someone who's living defeated, or you yourself is living defeated, if you feel like the deck is stacked against you, if you feel like you'll never break through, if you feel like you'll never catch a break, if you feel like it'll never be what you thought it would be, if you feel like you'll never be good enough, you'll never be smart enough, and doggone it, nobody likes you. If you feel any of that way, I am thrilled you're here today because Jesus has a message for you. And the message is very simple. Keep your head up. Because the game's not over. What I want to do today is I want to look at a story from the life of Jesus. This actually happened to him. And within this story, I'm hoping you see yourself. I'm hoping you can see some lessons of what happens when we live life defeated. And I'm hoping when we're done, you will walk out of here understanding why, no matter what happens, no matter the setback, we still have a Savior. And He is still working. I know some of you, man, you're here today, you don't even believe in Jesus. Look, today's one of those days you can kind of lean in and you get to see the promises that are available to those of us who give our life to Jesus. Today's sermon is why I believe you should become a Christian. Because what we're going to talk about today is a promise from God that is freely available to every single one of us. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 11. That's where we're going to be. John chapter 11. And John was one of Jesus' closest friends, closest followers. He wrote the last biography we have of Jesus' life. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all pretty much tell the same story. And it was like John came around afterwards and said, you know, guys, this is great, but there's a whole lot you forgot to say. So he came back and wrote his biography of Jesus' life and included a lot of stories the other three did not. This is one of those stories. This is what he says. John chapter 11, starting in verse 11, it says, a man named Lazarus was sick. Verse 1, not verse 11, I'm sorry. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. Now, one of the things we don't often think about with Jesus is that Jesus was a human. Yes, he was God, but he was fully human. That means he had friends, he had relationships, he told jokes, he had a good time. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were friends of Jesus. Maybe you've ever heard the story about when Jesus comes into a village, Bethany, and he goes to a house of two sisters named Mary and Martha, right? And the story is Martha is too busy cooking all the food and cleaning the house and getting ready, and Mary just sits at Jesus' feet and listens to Jesus, and Jesus is like, Mary, you did the right thing, you listened to me. Well, people I know are like, well, somebody had to cook the food, so I don't know what Martha did wrong, right? These people had to eat. Well, Jesus became friends with these people. He became friends with Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, okay? This is 3 years into Jesus' ministry, right? So they know who Jesus is. They know what he can do. And their brother gets sick, right? They're personal friends of Jesus. They have a personal relationship with Jesus. Their brother gets sick. They need Jesus. And so they do what we say here at Wellspring, what you're supposed to do, right? Look what happened. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Right? They go to Jesus. Hey, he's sick. Please come help him. Please come heal him. That would be fantastic. Because, you know, we love him and we know you love him. We've seen you heal lots of people. Please come heal him. Look what Jesus says. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. See, he's away at the time with his disciples, and when he finds out about it, he looks at his disciples, and he says these words. He says, okay, this isn't going to end in death, guys. This has happened for the glory of God. Now, you could hear that, and you could believe that that means that Jesus caused Lazarus to get sick for his own personal benefit, right? Well, that's not true. One of the kind of a principle you have in Scripture, right? This is a confusing verse. You do not let confusing verses dictate clear verses, right? We have to read a confusing verse in light of everything we know about God that's clear in the Bible. And it's clear in the Bible, God does not cause these things. Evil causes these things. Sin causes disease. Sin causes death. So what really Jesus is saying is he's saying, look, because this has happened to Lazarus, because this is happening, God's going to get glory. He's basically tipping his hand to his disciples about what he is about to do. But then he does something really strange, because these are his friends. These are good friends. And his friend is sick. And he says, hey, I need your help. And look what John tells us happens next. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. He loves them. He's told his disciples, hey, this isn't going to end in death. You're going to see my glory here. I'm going to be made famous through this. But then he doesn't go anywhere for 2 days. Now put yourself in Mary and Martha's position. It could feel, if you're Mary and Martha, it could feel like Jesus ignored them. How many of you have ever felt like Jesus is ignoring you? Like for whatever reason, you just can't get through to God. He's just not returning your calls. He's not returning the texts. You sent the text. You can see when he read it. A couple of times you've seen some bubbles. And you're like, oh, he's texting back. And then the bubbles disappear. Isn't that the worst thing in the world? When you see the bubbles and then the bubbles go away. You're like, well, what happened? Where did they go? Why are they ignoring me? See, I point this out because it could have felt like to the ladies, that he was ignoring them. What we know, because I know the rest of the story, and you're about to know the rest of the story, but because we know he's already told his disciples what he's going to do, we know he's not ignoring them. He's investing in their future. Hold on, let me back that up. Make sure y'all hear what I just said. He's not ignoring them. He's not ignoring you. He's investing in your future. He's preparing for something. He's preparing for something better than you can even imagine. That's what he was doing for Mary and Martha. So if you're here today and you think God's ignoring you, God's not returning your calls, I promise you, he's on the job. All he needs you to do right now is to keep trusting, keep leaning in, and to keep your head up. So he decides to go. After 2 days, he tells his disciples, all right, come on, let's go to Bethany. Something interesting happens. His disciples try to talk him out of going because they're afraid he's going to be arrested. At this point, Jesus has really upset the religious leaders, and they're afraid he's going to be arrested. And Jesus is like, dog, I'm Jesus. I'll be fine. And so they start going, and he starts talking about Lazarus. And he says that Lazarus is asleep. Well, they think he means literally Lazarus is asleep. And they're like, well, we'll just wake him up when we get there. Again, the disciples, pretty dense. And so Jesus decides on the way, look, I've got to explain to them exactly what happened. So he tells them in verse 14, he says, look, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. Now, again, the disciples would have been like, I'm sorry, what? Huh? He's your friend, right? He was your friend who was sick, and you said he wasn't going to die, and now he's dead. I'm so confused. Jesus understands you're confused, so he says this. He says, look, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. He just said he was dead, and then he talks about him like he's not. Come on, let's go see my buddy Lazarus. They're like, dog, you said he was dead. I know. Let's go see Lazarus. See, Jesus is trying to let his disciples know, I'm up to something here. I'm doing something here. I told you you were going to see something here. I told you I was going to be with it. For those of you here today, if God tells you something, he's going to do it. He told you he was going to be with you. He told you he was going to give you abundant life. He told you he was going to help you break that addiction. He told you he was going to help mend that relationship. It's going to happen. That's the point of this story. Let's keep going. So look what happens. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. 4 days. Like, really dead. 4 days dead. I believe that is a fact for us to know later on in the story that what actually happened was a miracle. He'd been in the grave for 4 days. Now, 4 days is a long time. Mary and Martha had been heartbroken because Jesus didn't show up. They were wondering where he was. Probably after the first day, they're like, he'll come tomorrow. After the next day, he'll come tomorrow. And then they just gave up. They had friends come into town because they do death like we do it in the South. Everybody comes to your house and you eat for a couple of days. And so they had a ton of friends come in, a ton of family come into town. And they're all kind of hanging out in Mary and Martha's house. They're all grieving. They're all crying. And then Jesus rolls into town. And look what happens when Jesus gets here. This is kind of when the story picks up. Here's what happens. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Now, Martha wasn't the only one who got word. They both would have gotten word. They both would have heard that Jesus was there. Martha was just aware of what was going on. Mary missed it because she had her head down. Because to her, the story was over. Her brother was dead. Now, again, when you put yourself in her position, you understand why she felt that way. You understand the struggle. But you can't miss this today because Mary did. Jesus showed up and Mary missed it because Mary had her head down. The very answer she was hoping for, the answer to all her problems, the only person who could solve what was ailing her shows up. He comes to town and she misses it because she was looking down, because she was living defeated. I ask, is it possible in some of the areas of your life where you've given up, in some of the areas of your life where you no longer have hope, is it possible Jesus is walking into town, he showed up, he's ready to do something, and you're just missing it because you won't pick your head up, because you've just decided it's over? If that's you today, don't worry. Story's not over. There's more to come. And the message is clear. Keep your head up. So Martha comes out. She starts talking to Jesus. And she meets him and she says these words. She says, look, Jesus, she said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only you had been here. But then she says, like, because she's a good Baptist, right? Like, she knows what to say. She knows the right words to say. She says, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. See, she's trying to have faith. She's trying to have hope in this. But we know she didn't actually mean what she said. We know these were just words she said while she was looking down. We know she was living defeated as well. The way we know this is because Jesus responds this way. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. In other words, yeah, I'm here. Let's go. Where is he? I'm here now. I'm here to raise the dead. Let's go do this. Let's go. Your brother's going to rise. But Martha doesn't believe him. Martha does what I've done in the past. Martha does what many of us do in our lives. Martha marginalizes a miracle. Jesus just showed up and said, I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to do a miracle in your life. And this is Martha's response. Yes, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. I know, Jesus. I know when it's all over because I have good theology as well. I know your word is true, and I know someday, one day, we'll all be reunited again and we will all rise. That's true. But that ain't what he said. He didn't say, I'm going to give you some promise in 50 years. He said, I'm here to bring your brother back to life. I just showed up. And he's like, Martha, you remember, I've done this before, right? Peter, my buddy, you know Peter, he's here? Ask him about his mother-in-law. She was dead. Now she's not. Right? We saw Jairus' daughter. Ask him about them. Ask him about Jairus' daughter. She was dead. Now she's not. I've done this before. I can heal people. I can bring them back to life. But Martha was so defeated. She was so blinded by her own pain, by her own sorrow, that all she could do was look down. And when her hope showed up and told her what she wanted to hear, she couldn't even receive it. What is Jesus trying to give you right now? What is he trying to do in your life right now? Where is he trying to move? Where is he trying to break through? Where is he trying to bring healing? Where is he trying to bring reconciliation? Where is he trying to bring something to you, but you won't take it? You can't see it because you're so defeated. You're so blinded to it because you just got your head down. Just kind of kicking the dirt. Nothing's ever going to work out for me, I guess. Nobody's ever going to like me. Nobody's ever going to help me. That wasn't a foul, by the way. That wasn't a foul. They did it last quarter. I don't know what the problem is. But see, here's the good thing about Jesus, man. He's so patient. He's so calm. He's so cool. He engages Martha. And he's like, all right, Martha, you want to go that way? Okay. Here's what he says. He says, you're right. Jesus told her, you know what, Martha, you're right. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? He says, you know what? You are right, Martha. That is the promise of following me, is if you give your life to me, you get eternal life. You'll never die. You'll get this. You're so right. Do you believe this, Martha? And Martha responds. She says, yes, Lord, I've always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Yes, God, I believe you are who you say you are. She believed, but she couldn't see. She believed it, but she couldn't see it because she wasn't looking in the right direction, because her head was still down. She was living defeated. She couldn't look up and see what Jesus was trying to do. She couldn't see what he was trying to orchestrate around her. So Martha goes back to the house. She's done talking to Jesus for a while. And she goes and she gets Mary. And she lets Mary know, hey, Jesus is here. He wants to see you. And so Mary gets up. She's crying. She can't compose herself. When she gets up to leave the house, many of the people who are there, the friends and the family, they don't know Jesus is there yet because their heads are down as well. They don't know Jesus is there. And so they follow Mary because they think that Mary is on her way to the grave to grieve. They just think she's going to go cry for a while. And in that culture, they were going to go cry with her. They were going to follow her. So when they see her leave the house, she leaves. They don't know she's on her way to Jesus. Look what happens in verse 32. When she gets to Jesus, this happens. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet. She fell at his feet, weeping, and said, Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Again. She's living defeated. She didn't say, oh, thank goodness you're here. Let's go get my brother. Oh, I'm sorry. Jesus is here. The almighty, all-loving, all-powerful God of the universe who we've literally seen raise the dead. You're here now. Took you long enough. Come on, let's go. Let's go get my brother. Let's go. That's not what Mary does. She falls in front of Jesus. And says, oh, it's too late. God, you dropped the ball. You missed it. You blew it. You messed up. Wellspring, can I tell you something today? You understand when we're talking about God here, it's never too late. There's no such thing as too late. It's not too late. It's not too late for your marriage. It's not too late. It's not too late to break that addiction. It's not too late. It's not too late. Whatever that promise is from God, whatever that thing is that you've given up on, what Jesus would say to you today is it's not too late. See, here's the problem with Mary and the problem with Martha. Because they were living defeated, because they were looking down, they forgot who they were talking to. They forgot they weren't talking to some other dude. They weren't just talking to their friend. They were talking to the living God. So many times, we as Christ followers give up, we live defeated because we forget who we're talking to. We forget we're not talking to our cousin. We're not talking to our sister. We're not talking to our father. We're not talking to our brother. We're not talking to our neighbor. We're not talking to our boss. We are talking to the all-powerful God of the universe. And when he says it, it's going to happen. But like he said to the disciples, like he said to Martha, and like he says to Mary, you have to believe. You have to stop living defeated. And you have to pick your head up. Now, at this point, Jesus, something interesting happens with Jesus. Okay? He sees Mary come. He sees her wailing. He sees her falling on the ground. If only you'd been here. If only you'd been here. But he's dead now. He's dead. And everybody's just crying. They're just having a whole little hissy fit. They don't see. You know, Jesus is there. He's here. And so I understand where Jesus is coming from when the next thing happens. Here we go. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. A deep anger. Now, please hear me. He wasn't mad at them. He was mad at the situation. He was mad at sin. He was frustrated with their complete defeatedness, with the fact that they had completely given up because he was Jesus, because he knew where he was going. He could see the rest of the game, and he kept saying, it's the first quarter. Why are you guys crying? Why are you so upset? See, if you're a parent today, you understand this emotion. You have experienced your children just give up. Oh, the paper's too hard. I'll never finish it. Oh, I'll never make the team. I'll never read this book. How much have you read? Half a paragraph. It's too hard. So long. It's so long. Now, Jesus had righteous anger. When this happens in my house, I do not have righteous anger. I just get mad. Sometimes when I'm on the sideline saying, keep your head up. Keep your head. Hey, it's going to be okay. Hey, it's going to be. Hey. 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 And then I do the dad thing where I go, you better listen to me right now. Look at me in my eyes. You better keep your head up. Are you crazy right now? I didn't say Jesus did it. I said I did it. But you know why? Is there anything in life than watching someone waste their potential because they gave up before the game was over? Is there anything more frustrating in life than knowing what you are acting like a big deal is a very tiny deal? And we have experienced this. This is going to happen over and over and over and over and over and over again in your life. And so you have two choices. You can drop your head and live defeated, or you can keep your head up and you can experience everything God has for your life. So Jesus had him a little moment. He got angry. And then he asked this question. Where have you put him? He's like, you know what? I'm done talking. I'm done trying to explain. Where is he? Somebody tell me where he is. I got to walk this anger off. Where is he? Where is he? That's what we're told next. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. Anybody ever done that before? Like you're just so mad, you just got to take a walk. You know, that's what Jesus did. He was like, these people. I'm sure he was walking, he was talking to God. Can you believe these people? Can you believe it? I show up. I told Mary, I'm here to raise your brother back to life. And she says, it's going to happen one day. I know it's going to happen one day. Can you believe this? And then I get, then Mary comes out. Jesus, if only you'd been here. If only I'd been here. I'm Jesus. I know what I'm doing. Why are they doing this? So he kind of walks it off, kind of calms himself down, kind of gets okay. And then he gets to the tomb. He arrives at the tomb, and it was a cave. Oh, go back. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. And he says, roll the stone aside. He ain't playing no more. He's like, these people aren't getting it. I gotta pick their heads up. I gotta show them what I came to do. Now, you would think at this moment, right? People who know Jesus, people who follow Jesus, they'd get it now. They'd be like, oh, yeah, he's here. Okay, yeah, he's here. He's going to raise him back from the dead. Oh, this is fantastic. Get ready to have a party. No. That is not what happens at all. Martha, sweet Martha, is still utterly defeated and utterly confused. Look what she says. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. What? He told her, I'm going to bring him back to life. He asks, where is he? He says, move the stone away. And her only response is, it's going to stink. She was right here. She was on the edge. She was about to get the very thing she'd been asking for. God was about to fulfill her promise. He had told her he was going to do it. He had shown her he was going to do it. He was making the way to do it. He was removing obstacles to make it happen. It was right there, and she still couldn't see it because she had her head down. Because she was living defeated. I believe for some of you today, God wants me to say your answer is right here. You are right on the edge. He has told you he's going to do it. He's moving obstacles to do it. It's right there. Don't give up. Don't give up now. Don't give up when you're right on the edge. Don't give up when you're just about to get it. Don't start questioning. Don't start doubting. Don't say, well, I don't know how that's going to work. You want me to do what, God? You want me to talk to who? You want me to forgive who? You don't know what you're asking, God. That's too much. It will stink if I have to do that. Some of you are right there. You are right there. But you're still allowing the obstacles and the things in your path to block what Jesus is trying to do. And it's because you simply keep living with your head down. The setbacks have been too much. The struggles are too great. You have forgotten who you're talking to. And you've dropped your head. And you've given up. And the message of today is very simple. Keep your head up. Because the game isn't over. Now, Jesus was very patient with Martha again. He had walked off his anger. He was fine now. And he looks at her and he says these words. He says, look, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? See, she's still looking down. I believe as she even said it, she's looking down. She hears the stone and she goes, Jesus, it's going to smell so bad. It's going to stink. You're not going to get it. And she's looking down. And this is what I believe happened. This is what I believe happened. Because Jesus knew where he wanted her to look. But he knew she couldn't see it as long as her head were down. As long as she was looking down, as long as she was living defeated. I believe Jesus took his hand and just lifted her face. And I don't even think he pointed it at himself. I think he pointed it at the grave. I think he pointed it at the promise. And I said, he said, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you believe? Martha, you don't understand what's about to happen. But look at me, sweetie. I need you to pick your head up. I need you to stop looking down because you don't want to miss what's about to happen. For a lot of you today, God is pleading. He's saying, look, I know it's been tough. Look, I know you've struggled. I get it. But I need you to pick your head up I need you to dust yourself off. I need you to look forward. I need you to look at me. I need you to walk towards me. I need you to run towards me. I need you to trust me. I need you to pray because I'm working. I never ignored you. I never left you. I've been working the whole time. And what I'm about to do is going to not only blow your mind, it's going to blow the mind of everybody you know. But I just need you to keep believing. I just need you to pick your head up. I just need you to keep your head up for just a little bit longer. So he says to Martha, he says, keep your head up. You do not want to miss what's about to happen. And then he does this. So they roll the stone aside, and then Jesus, what did he do? He looked up. Jesus looked up. He looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it aloud for the sake of these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. See, Jesus is always working to build our faith. He's always working to draw us closer to him, to strengthen our faith in him, to strengthen our belief in him. That's why it's so important to keep our head up, because when our heads are down, we miss what he's doing around us. We miss the provision. We miss where he's moving. We miss the obstacles he's removing. We just miss it all because we've given up. But he's saying you don't have to do that. You can live with your head up because I have something planned for you. Just like he had something planned for Martha and Mary. Then he said these words. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. Come on. Now imagine Martha's face. Imagine how happy she was that she had picked her head up. Because I'm convinced Martha was the very first person to see her brother. She was the very first person to see God's fulfillment of his promise simply because she was where Jesus told her to be. She was doing what he told her to do, and she was looking where he told her to look. Many of you, man, you're where Jesus told you to be. That's not going to change. And you're even doing what Jesus told you to do. You're doing it. You're doing it. But you don't have a lot of hope that it's going to work. You just kind of do it. I'm supposed to read my Bible. Okay, I guess I'll do that. I'm supposed to go to church and serve. I'll do that. Yeah, oh, we're singing those loud songs again. I'll raise my hand. Okay, I'll raise them both. Oh, it's the offering. Okay, time to clap. Clap, clap, clap. Yeah, whatever. All right, he's coming out, he's talking. Okay, we'll laugh a couple times and then we'll go home. You are where Jesus told you to be. You're doing what Jesus told you to do. Here's what you're missing. You got to look where Jesus told you to look. Because even though you're doing the right things, even though you're in the right place, you're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking down because you've given up. Because you're living defeated. And what Jesus would say to you is what he said to Martha. He would say, you will see when you believe. See, we show our faith by where we look. The reason we live defeated is because we've given up hope. We've given up our faith. And what Jesus is saying is, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that because it's about to happen. It's right here. It's coming. It's coming. You have no idea what's about to happen. Keep your head up, because if you don't, you're going to miss the miracle. You're going to miss what Martha got to see. Look at this. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave cloths, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. And watch this. Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. They saw. And they believed. They saw. And they believed. They saw it because in that moment, God did something so miraculous, so amazing, so out of this world that he jarred them out of their defeatedness. He jarred their heads up and they saw what God had been working on the entire time. Listen to me, Wellspring. Listen to me. The very same God that raised Lazarus from the dead is with you today. And the very same promise he gave to Mary and Martha, he gives to you, he gives to me, he gives to us. He promises us abundant life. That means peace and contentment and satisfaction and purpose. If you are not living it yet, just keep looking for it. Don't let a setback take your eyes off of the Savior. That's what we do. We drop our heads. We live defeated. And if we're not careful, we miss what God has been planning for us the entire time. Look, I had a very simple, simple goal today. The story of Lazarus is one of hope. And I don't know where you're living defeated today, but I know you probably are in some area. There are probably some things you've given up. You've given up hope. You've given up that dream that you had of doing something amazing for God. You've given up ever having a great relationship with your siblings. You've given up ever having a great relationship with your kids. You've given up ever reconciling with your spouse. You've given up ever beating that addiction. You've just given up because it's too hard and you're living defeated. You've dropped your head. And the image I want you to remember, when you walk out of here today, this week, this month, and you start thinking about these issues, is that you have an all-loving, all-powerful Heavenly Father who sent His Son, Jesus, to set you free from that defeated life. And when you struggle, and when you wrestle, and when you fall, and when you have that setback, you have a Savior on the sidelines. And He's locked in on you. And He's eyeing you. And He's clapping. And He's looking at you saying, no, it's okay. Keep your head up. Hey, I saw that foul. It's okay. You'll be fine. Keep your head up. It's okay. Don't let it get you down. No. Do not let that bother you. No, you'll be okay. Get it next time. Take the next shot. I know you missed that shot. It's okay. Take the next one. Because I got a play coming. We're going to put it in. You're going to drain that three. It's going to be amazing. Hey, keep your head up. Keep your head up. Do not let that setback take you off the wrong path. Do not do it. Keep your eyes on me. Right here. Lock in. I'm with you. I love you. And I'm going to do something amazing in you. I died to prove it. And you can trust me. So I don't know what it is. I don't know where you've given up. All I know is that Jesus says it's not too late. All I know is Jesus says, until I close the door, it ain't closed. So keep your head up. Look at me. Lean into me. Trust me. Pray to me. Walk with me. Talk with me. Let me show you what I'm doing. Let me show you where I'm working. And get ready. Because if you still have a pulse, you have a purpose. And it's a divine purpose. And our Heavenly Father wants to do more in you and through you than you ever imagine possible. You just have to keep your head up. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you that you love us and that you want to rescue us and that you want to protect us. And Father, that you don't want us to live a defeated life, that you don't want us to live just beaten down. Father, you want to remind us today it's not too late, that you're still at work, and you can still do great things. Father, I pray for every heart in the room. I pray you search it. I pray wherever they've given up, wherever there's defeatism, that you will fill it with you. That you will pray, you replace defeatedness with divinity. That people will see you. That they will trust you. That they will keep their eyes on you. That they will experience the life you came to give them. See, in your Son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.